Welcome to the Tim Cavey Show. I believe in the power of content creation to build meaning, share ideas, support learning, and even enhance relationships, and that's really the mission behind this podcast. I'd also like to use the show to interview guests who have meaning and significance in my life. And with that in mind, I'm beginning an ambitious new project that I'm calling the Legacy Series. What I want to do in these episodes is interview parents, aunts, uncles, and other older individuals who have contributed to my life. I want to get to know them better, hear their stories, and help to preserve their legacies for their families and future generations. I decided to start this series with my parents because clearly, no two people have had a bigger impact on who I am as a man, a husband, and a step-parent today. I'm honored to be joined, first of all, by my dad, Bill Cavey, who at the time of this recording is 71 years old. Dad, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're very welcome. It's great to be connected so many miles apart.
That's right. Always, always fun. So we don't have the FaceTime going this time or the Zoom or the Hangouts, but I hope if you're feeling relaxed, we can jump into this and we'll see how far we get today. I've got quite a few questions for you, as you know. So thank you for sharing a little bit of your time.
We're good.
Excellent. Well, for all those listening, why don't you start by telling us a little bit more about yourself? Who are you? Where do you live today? And let's talk about who is in your immediate family.
Well, just in thinking about this, I would say I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a believer, I'm a grandfather. I have 4 grown adult sons, all married, 14 grandchildren, and I am retired for 3 years now. Still do some volunteer work in a couple of organizations and on a few boards, but I am retired.
And did you mention where you live today?
Oh, sorry. We are in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
All right. Otherwise known as Winterpeg, the pride of the prairies, right? The center of the continent, I believe.
Yes. The Grey Cup champions, although we may not get to defend that title.
That's right. Yes. The CFL, the Canadian Football League champions of 2019. Very proud accomplishment. It was a long time for Winnipeg, actually. It was, I think, 29 years.
Very long time.
Something like that. All right. So, Dad, I want to start this conversation by going to the generation before you, and actually even before the generation before you. I'm making this sound complicated. I want to go 2 generations back and really scratch the surface of what we can remember, really what you can remember about your grandparents. So we're talking about my great-grandparents, who unfortunately I never met. So starting with your dad's side, if you can recall, share with us when and where each of them was born and where they spent their growing up years before you came on the scene.
Okay, with my grandfather, his name was William Cavey, also the same as mine. He was born in Swindon, England, and he came to Canada with railway ties. When he came to Canada, he eventually landed up in Ottawa. His wife was Susan. She was a Canadian, and her parents were, though, from England. So there's lots of English roots there. On my mother's side, her mother was Florence. She had German parents, and her husband was Hubert. And he also had German parents, but they were both Canadians and grew up near Armprior, which is near Ottawa, and they spent some time in Point Gatineau, which is across the river from Ottawa.
Okay, that is fascinating. So we've got William and Susan Cavey from Swindon, England. So that makes me third generation Canadian, correct?
Well, Susan wasn't born in Swindon. Her parents came from England, but I couldn't tell you where.
Okay, so Susan may have been a born Canadian, is that right?
Yes, she was.
Oh, she was. Okay, so really William William was the English immigrant, and Susan may have been born in this country. All right, and then
and Florence and Hubert then were both born in Canada, but were of German parentage.
Okay. Both, and what was their last name?
Sproul.
Sproul. Okay, that was what I thought, but just wanted to make sure I'm not going astray here. So Florence and Hubert, both born in Canada, but their parents were German. All right, so we have some German ancestry. Okay, and of your four grandparents, we've got William, your namesake, I guess. We've got Susan. I'm writing some of this down, so if I sound a little bit distracted, that's why. We've got Florence and Hubert Sproul. So of those four, what kind of memories do you have of them? Was there one of the four that you really connected with? Let's dig into that a little bit.
Well, for a while, the Sprouls lived right beside us. So I did connect with both my grandpa and grandma. That would be on my mother's side. But my biggest connection was probably with my grandpa Cavey, because he lived with us after his wife died early. She died well before him, and he was a widower, and he moved in with our family. I always was very impressed with my dad and mom that they took that extra boarder into the house. And so I connected probably with him even more than anything. I really loved him. He was a gentle, kind Christian temperament. He was good to be with.
So are we talking now? I just realized I made kind of a silly mistake, because I've met my great grandma Sproul, God rest her soul. Of course, she's no longer with us, right. But that would have been Florence. Do I have that right?
That's right.
Okay. So she was Florence. Of course, I never thought about that name as a kid. So I'm thinking about this, you had your Sproul grandparents living beside you and your Cavey grandfather living with you. So you had three out of the four very close.
Yeah, at one time, Will and Susie, that's what they called themselves, lived maybe half a mile or a mile away from us. And I used to often be down there cutting their grass for them and stuff like that. But then when Grandma Cavey died, then Grandpa Cavey moved in with us. And so that's the way it went.
That brings back a random memory of, I don't know if you remember taking me over to some place. I remember mowing a lawn a few blocks away from Grandma and Grandpa Cavey's place there in the Alta Vista area. But I don't know if that's probably not the same property. Of course, it wouldn't be. okay, so, and we are talking about Ridgecrest, right?
Right. It might have been a property that, like, the Sprouls lived about a block away from us for a good number of years. And then a widow next to my parents' place sold her house, and Grandma and Grandpa Sproul bought that. So they moved a block.
Wow. So kind of a small world. And I feel like at that point, now, I don't know if we've made it clear enough to our listeners, we are talking about Ottawa. I think one of us mentioned Ottawa. So talking about Ottawa, Canada. We're also saying, now, this was a neighborhood that at the time would have been fairly new, correct? Like, I'm trying to think about the years that those homes would have been built. What would you estimate that at?
About 55, 56.
Okay, so immediately after the war.
Yeah.
And speaking of the war, we should talk about that for a second, too. In terms of war involvement, we've got William and Hubert. We'll start with the men. Did either of them serve? Did either of your grandparents serve in either of the wars? Do you know?
I don't think so, but I don't recall. I know my dad was in it, and one of his brothers, but that would be the Second World War, but it could be the age difference at that point. I'm not just sure.
And I'm putting you on the spot here, but yeah, you would not know that your grandparents' birth years, right? I'm sure you don't have that information.
No, I've got it.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
Florence was born in 1899.
Wow.
Hubert was born in 1887. So there were 12 years apart there. which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And so when he died early compared to her. But she lived long too, 104. I don't have the other dates right with me, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, thinking about my great-grandmother Sproul. So this is a lady that I remember having many conversations with, and
yes,
someone who is very alert, very with it. You know, her eyesight was good. She could remember the names of her great-grandchildren. And when you look at her birth date, I mean, she had the distinction of living in three separate centuries.
It was amazing.
Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, she witnessed a lot of things, like a lot of inventions, the airplane and microwave, everything was new.
Well, you have to think 1899. I mean, we're still in horse and carriage, I think, at that time, aren't we? And then
yes,
we have the Model T's and, you know, the big Ford factories starting up in the right around the First World War years. And then things progress from there. But yeah, incredible, incredible.
Yeah. She went to church by horse and buggy in the early years.
Wow. Incredible. And okay, so now thinking about going to church, you and Mom grew up, of course, in the Metropolitan Bible Church, where both of your, now we'll get to your parents a little bit later, but was that a church that went way back? I mean, did all of your grandparents attend that church as well?
I think it started in the early 50s.
Okay.
So where they went before that, I couldn't tell you. I know my grandpa Cavey and Susan, went to a church called, Calvary Baptist in Ottawa East. And that's where my dad grew up.
Something I am just wondering about here, and I'm just going to give voice to these questions as they come, but could great grandma Sproul speak German?
Probably. She had a brother that certainly could, who lived in Arnprior, which we visited a number of times. August, Uncle Augie. He could speak German. He was a jeweler, and one of the things I remember about him was he owned a couple of trotters, horse trotters.
Right.
And he used to parade those out for us. We loved to watch that.
So he must have had some larger property.
Yes, he had his own track that he could run.
Wow. So this is like a rich uncle.
I never thought of him that way, but I guess he had a little more than average wealth, yeah.
Okay, so I might be overstating it. Maybe that track wasn't Kentucky Derby quality, but anyway, he had these horses and he had enough property to run them around.
That's right.
Let's get back to your grandparents. Talk about, now again, this is through the eyes of a kid, but talk like, what were the core values, would you say, that they lived by or embodied? I mean, you obviously, I got to know great grandma Sproul a little bit. This question isn't really one that I ever thought about much as a kid, but what were some of their values that they lived by?
On the Sproul side, Grandma and Grandpa started out as farmers over in Point Gatineau, and they were very hard workers, both of them. And so that was something that was instilled right away, that they, you know, they knew how to work. On the Cavey side, my grandpa was involved in the church. He knew the Lord, and his children all followed suit. I don't remember very well what his occupation was while I was growing up. That part is very fuzzy in my mind. He's probably retired somewhere in there.
So Grandpa Cavey, we're not sure about, or my great-grandpa Cavey, we're not sure what his occupation was. We'll have to ask around and see if someone knows. But on the Sproul side, they were farmers. That's interesting. So my grandma Cavey, your mom, she grew up on a farm. Is that right?
That's right.
Wow. See, the things I'm already learning. That is so interesting. Okay. And that farm, where was that farm located? I've heard you say Arnprior a couple of times. Is that where the farm was?
No, the farm was in Point Gatineau, which was...
Point Gatineau. Okay.
A little bit outside Hull, which is across the river from Ottawa.
Right. Right.
And there were two separate properties over a number of years. I don't know the dates.
Now, when you say Point Gatineau, are we talking on the Quebec side?
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's all part of the National Capital Region now. But at the time, it was very separate.
Right. Interesting. And would that have been, now I'm going to say a term that might be completely off base, but would that have been one of the Eastern Townships, or is that a term we apply to something else?
It would be close to it. I'm not sure if it would fit exactly.
One of us will Google that later, but I'm trying to think of, what do we call those towns that might have been English speaking, but in Quebec, right?
Yeah. They were all like along the Ottawa River there and close to the Ottawa River, and where the Gatineau and the Ottawa River met. So it's in that area. So when I said my grandma Sproul used to come to church by horse and buggy, she told us they used to cross the river in the winter, the Ottawa River. It would freeze over and the horses would take them across the river.
Oh my goodness. Just imagine all that horse and buggy traffic just crossing the river. And like today, that, I mean, for those who haven't been to that area, that's a pretty, maybe there was a narrow part of it or something, but from what I can recall, that's a pretty big river.
It is a pretty big river, yeah. I think there were colder winters, to be honest.
Yeah, no kidding. I think things have changed because I can't imagine cars driving over the Ottawa River today. I mean,
no, maybe. There's some pretty shallow areas there, but I don't know where that would have actually happened.
Let's get back to your immediate family and talk about when and where were your parents born. So now we're talking about Grandma and Grandpa Cavey, as they were known to me growing up. Can you give me locations and dates for them?
Yeah, my mother was born in Arnprior. My dad was born in Ottawa. I'm not sure where they spent all their growing up years, but Dad would have been in Ottawa almost all the entire time. My mom would have been in Point Gatineau with her parents, obviously, but then at some point they moved to Ottawa, but I don't know those dates.
And what years were they born?
1922 and 1924. My dad was born in 22. My mother was born in 1924.
Okay. So they were like the first baby boom, if there was such a thing. I don't know. I've never thought about like a first World War baby boom, but they're born right after that period. And if we think about the 20s, you know, often known as the Roaring 20s, you've got kind of a mix of changes happening in society, but also leading into the Great Depression.
Yeah.
So, you know, a time of challenges for sure. Now, you've probably heard their romance story. So tell me what you can recall of that. How did they meet? And I don't know, do you have any funny anecdotes or anything that you can recall from hearing that story?
I don't really recall much of how they met. I'm sorry. I know my sister would probably know more about it. I know that they were married at, my mom was age 20 and my dad was age 22. I believe Dad was still in the army at that point in time. He never did go overseas, but he was in the army in the motorcycle corps. And then he had a motorcycle accident, broke his leg, and never got sent overseas. So that maybe changed our history. I don't know.
Right. Well, I remember him telling me that he was a quartermaster and he couldn't go across. And if he hadn't had that injury, he might have gone to the D-Day invasion. And we know about the mortality rate there. So, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, for sure.
And let's talk about now, I don't know if we said your dad's name was Herbert, correct?
Yes, John Herbert William Cavey, but always went by Bert.
John Herbert William. So that William name was 3 generations old by the time you got to wear it.
That's right.
All right, so we've got Herbert Cavey, my grandpa, and what sort of work was he into? I think I know the answer here, but describe his career if you can.
Well, my dad was a civil servant. Growing up in Ottawa, that was, you know, kind of a natural occupation. He was after the war, he came back and he went to Carleton University. He was the first graduate from Carleton University with a Bachelor of Commerce following the war. And then he went into the government, into the civil service at that point in time, Department of Transport, and eventually got into ports and harbors, and then became one of about 4 or 5 members of the National Harbors Board, which was pretty prestigious position at the end of his career.
Yeah, I remember. So the ports and harbors, we're talking about the federal government, correct?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, I don't know everything that his job entailed, but I do know he had been to basically every significant port that you can think of across this country.
Yes.
And, you know, he had pictures from, I don't know, Vancouver, Montreal. What are the other big ports that I'm forgetting? You know, I guess all along the St. Lawrence, right?
Yeah, Port Alberni, Port Rupert, or Prince Rupert rather, up in northern BC. Then all the ports like Thunder Bay, all along the Great Lakes, Hamilton, Toronto, all through the East Coast, Halifax, St. John's, all of those ports. And many, many little ones that we happily visited on our family vacations.
So he mixed a little business and pleasure?
Yeah.
Or maybe he was able to cash in on some government paid hotel rooms and squeeze the family in there. So I found some ways to combine that economically.
I don't know about that, but I do know whenever we were somewhere, it would be, oh, we have to go see the port.
All right. So did any of that love of the sea translate with you? I mean, I know you followed in your father's footsteps as far as Carleton and the business side of things, but did any of the interest in the ocean and commerce that way translate for you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I felt very fortunate to visit every province in the country and really see Canada. We traveled a lot in the summer months. That was really passed on to me.
Very cool. Now, during all of these years, and your dad had a long career there, I believe your mom was a homemaker, right? Did she ever work outside of the home?
She was a secretary for a while, and she did a lot of volunteer work with the children's nursery at the church, which involved more than just watching the children. There was a lot of follow-up during the week and everything, but after the kids started to be born, she was home. She was a homemaker.
Getting back to your dad, what were some of his hobbies? Like, what was he into when he was not doing government business?
He liked to travel. We all went with him when we were in the country, but he was on a lot of overseas stuff too. I have pictures from Japan and Rotterdam and Singapore and New Zealand and Australia. He was really all over the world with his job, and he really enjoyed that. But when we were on family vacations, it was usually travel by car, and it was usually in Canada.
Besides travel, I mean, I remember he had a pretty good wood shop downstairs in the basement there, and he had the garage.
Yes.
Would he have called himself, like, was he a bit of a handyman carpenter type, or what kind of things did he do in the garage?
He would call himself a handyman. He was not a mechanic, but gardening, like, we had a pool, we had a garden, you probably remember those things. And
yeah,
he loved to do that sort of stuff too.
That's right. His grandpa's geraniums, right? Legendary.
Yes, that's right. He would bring in, he might bring in 100 geraniums. He would drive my mother crazy with all the geraniums. But he was not into sports. He wasn't a big sports fan. But he did take me to a couple of football games and a couple of baseball games because I loved sports, so it was really, he was good that way.
Now, I want to be careful how I choose my words here, but for boys that grow up with dads who are into sports, that's often a logical extension. I feel like that was the case, looking at you growing up with Hockey Night in Canada. How did you acquire that love for sports? Was it all from your school or friends?
Probably from school and friends. And I mean, when it was a while before we even had a TV. So he wouldn't have watched it on TV, growing up or anything. It wasn't the same thing.
Right. Yeah. Sport. We have to keep that in mind too, that sports as we know it today, professional sports is a much bigger beast than it was back then, right? We had
Yes.
so-called professional players, playing in the NHL who might have a farm in the summer, or they might be doing other things. So things looked a little different.
Exactly. The season wasn't as long. There were only five or six teams. There were no teams in Ottawa. You put all those things together, it just was different.
How would you describe your dad in three words? I don't know if you had a chance to think about this, but what would be the words that would come to mind?
Well, I would say he was outgoing. There was always company at our house. We always had a lot of company. He was smart. He knew the value of education and instilled that in all of his children that there was a point to getting education. And I would say he was respected. He was a leader. He was a church leader. He was a leader in his work. And I met a number of people that worked with him, and they were friends as well as co-workers. He was respected.
I'm just recalling a photo that I think I saw in his basement once of, didn't he get a picture taken of him and the Prime Minister?
Yes. Yeah, he met a lot of people. But, it was an important job at the time. Still is, but.
Let's talk about your mom. You said she was a homemaker, a secretary, a volunteer worker for the children's nursery. Do you ever think of your mom as having hobbies and interests? I mean, when she wasn't serving the family, what would she do for her own amusement?
She loved to cook. She loved to prepare meals. I learned to love pie from my mother.
Right.
She lived in the same neighborhood as her mother, and so there was a lot of care. My mother would care for her mother. I loved the fact that I could always come home for lunch when I was growing up in my K-8 years. Attending a school just down the street, I could come home for lunch, and there was always lunch. It was always ready for me. And so those are some of the things I would remember.
How would you describe your mom in three words?
She was a listener. She would get you talking, even more than my dad would. She would get you talking. Here, she'd say, "Here, stand here and dry the dishes with me." And we'd talk, we'd talk, and you just kind of opened up. She was caring. You could tell she, the words, whatever you were saying to her, she was really understanding and listening to. And she was a provider for her family. She cared for her mother, she cared for us, she was a provider for us. She'd make sure we had our, like, I don't know. It was a little different then. I never went out shopping for myself. So, there were, I'm talking, when I say never, I mean never. And she would make sure we had the pants or the socks or whatever we needed.
It's really neat the way, well, neat, I don't know if neat is the word, but it's striking how much the gender roles have changed. And of course, some would hear that and cringe, but society looked a lot different back then. And that was something that I know grandma took pleasure in, is
Yes.
serving her family and making sure everyone was set.
My dad had a good enough job and was making enough money that she could stay at home. So that worked as well.
Now, thinking about Grandma Cavey going to the store and buying your pants and socks, This is before the age of credit cards. Was everything in cash back then?
Cash or check.
Oh, that's right. So you could write a check. And I mean, this isn't so long ago. This is within my lifetime. But you could sit down at the cash register. Not sit down, but you could write a check, make it out to the store, sign your name, and they would accept that.
Yeah, you could go to the grocery store and write a check.
Now, how would the, just pushing that for a second, how would they know the check was good?
I guess they were all good at that point. I don't know. I guess after some of them started bouncing more than once or twice or something, I guess they would cut you off. But I think they, for many years, that was the way everybody paid everything, cash or check.
Wow, amazing. Take us to your childhood home, and we're wrapping up this section, Dad, so thank you again. But take us to your growing up years. I don't know what year the pool came in. To me as a kid, visiting that from Winnipeg, that was always a huge highlight of Grandma and Grandpa Cavey's house. But what are, take us to maybe one of your fond childhood memories. What comes to mind?
Well, I remember home as being a very happy place. Honestly, can't remember any fighting. Maybe some sibling squabbling. I don't know. I don't really remember much of it, but it's possible. I'm sure it was. I remember we always had supper together. We always had some sort of devotions after supper. There was fun around the pool. We often played around the pool. We had the pool was put in my late teens, maybe even, I might have even been 19 or 20. So I had a lot of fond memories around that pool. I loved some of my, I had some good friends in the neighborhood, and we had some boys clubs, and I just really enjoyed all of that.
And of course, the church wasn't too far away. You said you went to school right in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah, the school was like less than 5 minutes away. It was just a very short walk down to the end of the block and across the street.
Yeah, and I didn't go inside it, but I remember playing in that area. So what grade levels was that school?
That was a K to 8 school. I did K in a kindergarten in another school in an area in Ottawa known as the Glebe. And then we moved in about 1956 out to the home that I stayed in for the rest of my growing up years. And so I changed schools in grade 1.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm realizing, well, maybe we'll get to this in the next segment, but you are second in the birth order in your family. So I'm trying to think here, was your little baby sister around at that time? She wouldn't have been around yet, right?
No, she wouldn't have been around yet.
Two more questions for you. What is one thing that you think your parents did really well at the parenting game?
I felt like they gave us a really safe place to talk, really safe place, especially mom. And they helped us to work, to save, to give. I don't mean it wasn't safe to talk to my father. It's just my mom was more conversant.
It's funny. Last night I was talking to our 15-year-old, my stepson, about working, and there's a little bit of, I don't know, to me as a parent, it's like, how hard do I push him into working in the summer? Do I let him sit at home all summer? How old were you when you first, I think you were a paper boy at one point, right? Do you remember the age timeline on that?
I was about 16, 17, 18, maybe 15, 15 to 18. I was a paper boy for about 3 or 4 years, yeah.
And do you remember that conversation with Dad, you know, your dad, about, you know, how your summer should be spent? I mean, you mentioned that you did go on some family vacations by car, but I imagine most of your summer was spent around the house. So what was Grandpa Cavey's view on when it was appropriate for a young man to go out and get a summer job?
I don't really remember the age. I remember my first summer job. I don't really remember how old I was. I must have been 16 or 17. I did start to work at football games, just selling popcorn, Ottawa Rough Riders.
Yes.
One thing you have to remember is that in the growing up years, my dad still had to work on Saturdays. It was a 6 day work week, or at least a 5.5 day work week. So a lot of Saturdays, dad would have to go to the office still. And so that changes things too, because, you know, you're home 2 days a week, every week. Whereas back then, you're only home at the most a day and a half a week.
So interesting. That's interesting, that because I often think of that generation as sort of a little more keeping things in moderation, you know, wanting to, you know, Sunday businesses are closed. And I think of our society today as maybe more veering toward the workaholism. But that's interesting that he was in a, as you say, a 5.5 or a 6 day job. And maybe that was common. Would you say that was pretty common for people to expect to work on Saturdays?
I would, in the civil service, it was the public service. Absolutely. I don't know about other jobs outside. Like, I don't know about service jobs or stuff like that. I just don't remember.
Last question is maybe a little more challenging. What is one thing that you saw your parents do that you feel like maybe you would have done things a little bit differently as a parent yourself?
Well, because dad had to work on Saturdays, most Saturdays, I think I tried to involve my family more on things that I was involved with on Saturdays. You know, if we were going to Home Depot, I would always try to take one of the boys. If we were going to cut the lawn at one of the properties, you know, that I owned at the time, then somebody was going with me. As a family, my siblings, we had a big gap in ages. So it was perhaps a little different because there was, you know, my sister and I were pretty close, my older sister. And then there was a pretty big gap between my younger brother and my younger sister, and quite a number of years there difference. So we weren't always together. But for my family, I tried to do things together more than I could, as much as I could.
Okay, Dad, we've made it through 15 questions out of 36, and maybe a few more inserted along the way. Those last, I'm looking at the last section, and they're going to be quick ones, but let's leave this here. I think this is a first good episode, and when we come back, whenever that will be, we'll talk about your growing up years. We'll get some of that in the on the record books as well. And we'll dig into a little bit more of your early years. But thank you so much for joining me today, Dad. This was really fun. I learned a ton. And I know for other KVs and relatives or friends of the KVs, this will be interesting as well. So,
yeah, they'll probably correct me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You've got a couple of sisters who pay careful attention to the details, so they won't let you off the hook.
That's
but
right.
Hopefully I'll get a chance to chat with them as well. Okay, let's leave it here for now, Dad. We'll come back in the next episode and we'll continue this conversation.
Absolutely. Have a good evening.
All right. Take care, Dad. I love you and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Tim. We love you too.
Thanks again for joining me here on this edition of The Tim Cavey Show. If you enjoyed what you heard today or would like to engage with me further, connect with me on Twitter at Timothy Cavey and on Instagram at Tim Cavey. Take care and have a great day.